Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Rebel's Blade by Frost K, narrated by M. Eldridge. Prologue. This was it. Escape was impossible and death inevitable. Leering men surrounded her. The stench of their rotting teeth and filthy clothing assaulted her senses. Black spots dotted her vision as she struggled to maintain consciousness. She couldn't let herself slip away, though, or think of what they'd do if she did. Sage had been trained for this sort of thing, had been told pain was in the mind, and, while she could push some of it away, her body was only so strong. It was impossible to remain unaffected. She blinked, clearing the tears and blood from her eyes, only to catch the dark, empty ones of her captor studying her with amusement, seeming to enjoy her every wince or whimper. Biting the inside of her cheek, she steeled herself. She would not give him the satisfaction. If by some miracle she made it through this alive, he was on her list. Her body screamed in pain as someone pushed her forward, her toes skimming the floor, seeking purchase. Her hands, slick with sweat, dripped from the chains, shifting the entirety of her weight onto her manacled wrists. The metal bit into her abused flesh, though she had thankfully lost feeling in them some time ago. Tremors now racked her nearly naked body. How much longer could she hold on? She peered at the ringleader, a sadistic man named Serge. He appeared to be moving his lips, yet all she heard was the high-pitched ringing in her ears. The edges of her vision blurred, and every sound seemed distorted, almost as if she was underwater. She would die here, and her family would never know where to find her. Bitterness and regret then filled her. She should have killed the Crown Prince when she had the chance. This was his doing, she knew it. If she made it out alive, she would bring Ermaya down around his ears. Chapter 1. King Mark. The toes of his boots hovered over the air. Mark stood on the ledge of a massive open window and gazed down at the waves crashing into the jagged cliffs below. The wind whistled softly, carrying the scent of salt and seaweed through the window. It caressed his face, ruffling his charcoal-colored woolen cloak. Gulls cried over each other amid the roar of waves and the sharp voices of the fishmongers' wives as they haggled prices. Despite this cacophony of noise, it was peaceful here. Pulling his gaze from the boiling sea below, he turned his attention to the port, its ships decorating the harbor, bobbing like toys. Fishermen, merchants, and traders marched to and fro like ants. He sighed. His wife had loved walking in the market, always looking for new treasures or herbs to bring home. Her eyes would round and light up with excitement over some trinket. The woman also harbored a deep love for the sea. A soft smile brightened his features, thinking of the first time he saw her. He had turned into a bumbling idiot. He had taken a walk below the castle at low tide, as was his custom, and had reveled in the quiet time to think. When he'd caught sight of her, it stopped him in his tracks. She was completely oblivious to the world, with her arms thrown high and her palms facing the sky, almost like she was worshiping the sun. As she tilted her face to its rays, her midnight hair cascaded down her back, kissing the waves as they lapped just above her knees, her dress fluidly twirling about her legs. He had seen nothing more beautiful. As a boy, his Nana used to tell him stories of sea nymphs and Sirenidae, and he wondered, could she be one of them? He was afraid she would disappear if he looked away even for a second. Then she dropped her chin, running her fingers along the frothy waves, a tiny smirk playing along her mouth.
That's peculiar, he had thought. What's she smirking about?
His eyes snapped from her full pink lips to soft purple eyes. All he could do was gape. Purple eyes? Incredible. You know that's considered rude, to stare in most places. She had grinned at him expectantly, yet he still hadn't moved a muscle. He couldn't. Rolling her eyes at him, she had gestured for him to come closer. Come introduce yourself. He recalled how he had wanted to run to her, but that wouldn't do. He was a prince, and princes were dignified. So instead, he had collected himself and strode toward her, attempting an air of confidence.
but it was just his luck that on the first step, he'd caught his boot on a rock, stumbling and flailing his arms as he attempted to catch his balance. However, he had instead somehow entangled his feet in seaweed, landing on his stomach with a face full of sand. Curses and sand had spewed out of his mouth. Mark growled and clenched his jaw, the sand crunching between his teeth.
Figures, he grumbled to himself. There goes any chance of wooing her.
Female laughter, interspersed with an occasional wheeze, had then tickled his ears, bringing his attention back to the woman. He'd been so embarrassed that he had rolled over and threw an arm over his face. Perhaps if he couldn't see her, then she couldn't see him. If only life worked that way. A cool drop of water had plopped onto his face.
What the devil was that?
Moving his arm, he'd squinted up at the purple-eyed beauty, who was at that very moment leaning over him. His heart stuttered, which surprised him.
Is it supposed to do that?
She had shoved her hand out at him, laughter dancing in those unusual eyes of hers.
I'm Ivy, she had stated. You should have seen my fall in the forest last week. I tripped on nothing, nothing at all. You figure out how that happened. I can tell you one thing, it was not pretty, she'd continued.
He'd blinked. She talked fast. Mark didn't think she had taken a breath. She'd grabbed his hand and pulled him up.
Here, let me help you up.
Her impish grin had enchanted him, making him feel right at home. She'd changed his life that day, for in her he had found something he didn't even know he needed. The vivid memory faded, and the present came creeping back in. Mark's gaze once again sought the waves below. Without Ivy, he was weary of his empty life. The passing of time had not diminished his ache for her. And as each day passed, his memories of her faded bit by bit. He couldn't remember the sound of her voice anymore, and it killed him. Self-loathing bubbled up at his uselessness. He didn't recognize himself anymore. 30 years of love and memories haunted him every day. Again, the waves seemed to beckon him. He knew it would be easy to take just one step. If he was a weaker man, perhaps he might have. He scoffed, thinking the ocean would likely just spit him back up. He pondered what the future would hold. How was he to die? Would he go to sleep one day, never to wake up? Or would he instead bleed out on a battlefield somewhere, sword in hand? How would he be remembered? The quiet scuff of a boot roused him from his morbid reverie, and he internally groaned. Lord save him from one of his son's interventions. Without turning around, he asked,
To what do I owe the pleasure of your visit, son? Decided to check up on your old man, have you?
Ivy had called her father old man, and the memory brought a smile to his face. He already knew what his son Tell would say, so he shook his head, instead answering his own question.
No, I think not.
He reached out and rapped his knuckles on the window frame.
I highly doubt this is a social visit, as it's been a while since you last visited me.
His eldest son was pragmatic and logical, putting duty before all else. If he were visiting, then it had to do with Ermion business. Mark turned to study his oldest boy. A strong azure gaze met his own. He supposed Tell was not so much a boy anymore.
What is it you need, son?
Tell was casually leaning his broad shoulders against the cold stone wall, one black brow arched, the spitting image of his mother. At least Mark could have a little piece of Ivy in his son, he mused. He had grown into a handsome man. Maybe one day he would get some adorable grandbabies out of him. Ivy had always wanted to be a grandmother. He rubbed his chest. Perhaps, if he rubbed hard enough, some of the terrible grief could depart, and he'd no longer feel like someone was squeezing the life from his body. Mark shoved down the pain and focused on his son.
You must have heard about the revolts. Are you having trouble pinning down the leaders? If it isn't handled soon, it will turn into civil war, he commented. You know of the recent revolts?
Tell asked. Mark released a heavy sigh.
It's of no consequence. Tell, get on with it. I haven't seen you in 3 weeks, and I am not getting any younger. I know you have no desire to see me, as you've made clear, so you must need something. Am I wrong?
His son's expressionless face stared back at him, mute. He grimaced, pressing the heels of his hands to his weary eyes. Sometimes his son made rocks seem downright chatty.
I am surprised you're not out patrolling the city or chasing skirts. That seems to be your only pastime these days, other than avoiding me,
he muttered. Tell scoffed, pushing off the wall. His son strolled over to his side and peered out the window.
No, that's Samuel's job, not mine. He chases enough women for the both of us.
Tell's lips pulled down.
I don't chase. If I want one, I say something, and either the female accepts or declines. I don't have the time for chasing.
Tell's hands fluttered in the air. His son's dark blue eyes focused back on him after a moment.
I have too many responsibilities to engage in something so frivolous. Your responsibilities,
Tell added, his tone bitter. Mark shook his head.
Your mother would be disgusted to see your brother's treatment of women. I only wish one of you would finally pick one. Then I might, at the very least, have grandchildren to keep me occupied.
He and Ivy had always liked the idea of being grandparents. Maybe they would fill the blasted hole in his chest, he thought. Sadly, though, Mark didn't expect that to happen soon. Sam loved all women so much, it seemed he felt no desire to settle down with any one woman, while Tell was too busy trying to save the world to notice anyone at all.
Your mother always wanted you to find someone that made you happy,
he hinted.
You don't know how Mum would feel, because she isn't here,
Tell remarked, as if he were speaking of the weather. Mark gasped, the barb stealing the breath from his lungs. In fact, it would have been less painful if Tell had punched him in the face. His son's face fell, remorse evident.
Forgive me. That was uncalled for.
Tell's gaze dropped to his cloak, and he added,
But she is gone, and you need to let her go. I will never let your mother go. A companion like her is rare, and I can only hope you might one day find what I had in your mum. If you're ever fortunate enough to find a woman like her, you'll understand,
Mark said, gruffly. His son stared, his eyes narrowed in disbelief.
What you had only happens in fairy tales.
Tell's face pinched.
And look at what her death has done to you. You're unable to even care for yourself, much less Ermia. You are wasting away. I can't even recall the last time you left the castle walls. Our people are starving, and why? Because it seems you're incapable of halting this steady descent of yours. The Scythians steal into our kingdom to despoil our land, burn our crops. Ermaeans are disappearing along the border.
Mark's eyes widened.
Scythians? He repeated,
trying to make sense of his son's words. Over the last 900 years, a few outcasts of the Scythians' kingdom had sought refuge, but they kept to themselves. He shuddered, thinking of the warriors, more monster than man, that they created. He scrutinized his son.
What do you mean by Scythian? Exactly what I said. It wasn't the rebels causing the trouble along the border. It was Scythia. You have confirmation? Yes, there were survivors this time.
Tell's face hardened.
If you can call them that, they will be scarred for life. Children.
Pain filled his son's eyes.
Our kingdom needs you, but you sit in this godforsaken tower and do nothing.
Having vented his frustration, Tell's shoulders slumped. The pain and anger his son was struggling with became evident with his every word. Mark felt as if it were his own. Did Tell not understand how much he was trying, fighting every day? His only companions of late were sadness, guilt, and anger.
Don't take that tone with me, son. You cannot fathom how it has been, having lost the woman who owned my soul. She was my helper, friend, and companion. My other half. When she died, it may as well have been me,
he replied. Every word was a slash to his tortured soul.
I understand that you miss Mum, but...
Tell trailed off, his head cocked, as he seemed to take note of his father's belt, his eyes narrowing. Mark looked down, attempting to discover what had caught his son's attention. Before he could discern anything, Tell reached out and snatched the dagger from under his cloak. Mark gritted his teeth and tilted his head toward the open rafters of the great stone ceiling above. Lord, give him patience.
Why did you do that?
Tell ignored his question, instead replying with one of his own.
What is this?
Mark observed his son run a careful finger along the edge of the blade, wondering what in the world he was going on about.
What does it look like, son? I am certain you're in full possession of your wits, he inquired,
exasperation coloring his words. Tell's face was impassive, even as his hand clenched the hilt of the blade. That one display of emotion was enough to make Mark scrutinize his son. His son rarely showed emotion of any kind. Why was he so furious?
You know you're not allowed any weapons in your possession,
Tell hissed.
Ah, he thought. So that's what this is about.
Tell was worried he might hurt himself again. There had been one instance following Ivy's death he had cut himself. He had been numb, unable to feel a single thing. Not anger, not guilt, nor joy. He couldn't even cry. What sort of human being was he, to be incapable of mourning his loved ones? And even as he made that minuscule cut in his own flesh, there'd been no pain. He'd still felt nothing.
I have always carried a blade,
Mark reasoned, attempting to placate his son.
This is not unusual. In fact, it is essential for protection. I am trying to protect you from yourself.
That stung.
It was only the one instance, son. We'd barely buried her. But I am in no such danger now, he reasoned. I have no wish to die. Death is a weak man's tactic to escape problems. You, as the king, ought to be stronger than that. No person should hold that much power over you.
Those words pained him, but, as they weren't unfounded, he could not fault his son for them.
Then you ought to understand that it is only for protection. You shouldn't worry.
Tell glanced away from him in disgust.
I can't save you from yourself, and I'm done trying. Mope around your little fortress, lose yourself in your precious memories, or drink yourself into oblivion. Hell, you can sit in this tower and rot, or jump out the damned window if that's preferable. I am not your guardian.
Black smudges rested beneath his son's eyes. He looked exhausted. Tell sighed.
And you were correct in guessing that this was not a social visit, as enlightening as it has been. It seems Sam and his sneaks have found new leads on the rebellion leaders. My men and I will investigate. We will find them soon. Always the dutiful son, aren't you?
Mark asked, not expecting an answer. His son kept himself so engrossed in his duties to Ermia that his life was slipping past him, and he didn't even see it. Tell needed someone to shock him out of his rut, this relentless routine he kept up.
You need a wife.
The accompanying look of absolute horror on his son's face made him chuckle. Biting back a grin, he continued,
You need someone to help you. It's time to find a woman. A woman?
Tell repeated, stunned. His face soured, disgust evident as he stared at Mark, his arms crossed. It was rather akin to the look his son had given when he was little and had wanted pudding but received spinach instead.
I don't need a wife. I have a higher chance of being struck by lightning than being married.
Tell appeared thoughtful.
If I took a mistress, would that appease you?
Mark scowled at his eldest son.
No, that would be disgraceful.
Tell's lips twitched. Realization dawned. His son was teasing him. His scowl deepened. It seemed sons were more trouble than they were worth. Why couldn't Ivy have given him daughters? He crossed his arms, and his scowl morphed into a smirk.
You may joke now, but just you wait. At your age, I had rather the same attitude, but I received a large slice of humble pie.
Tell looked at him as he continued.
Your mother.
Tell paled and backed away, as if he had some disease.
I have to go. Take care of yourself, father. The next time we meet, I will have good news about the rebellion.
With that, his son turned on his heel and left the chamber. That boy was headstrong, yet Mark knew he would make an exceptional king. He knew it. He slumped against the stone wall. It seemed their conversation had taken a lot out of him. He hadn't experienced that many emotions in a long time. And yet, maybe things were looking up for him. As soon as he had thought it, he winced. Hope was a dangerous thing.
Chapter 2. Tell. The king was living in the past. It seemed like he wanted to lose himself in his memories and never come back. Tell tucked his father's dagger into a sheath at his waist, moving down the corridor.
Where does he keep getting these weapons?
He needed to increase the security on the armory. You would think someone who wasn't lucid more than half the time would lose some of their cunning, but not his father. One thing he could say, it seemed King Mark did not dull with age. Tell scanned the chilly hallway that led to the part of the castle his father inhabited. He shuddered. It unnerved him. Between the dim lantern light, the chill from the drab gray stone, and the puddles of darkness, it felt like something out of one of the horror stories Sam would read to him. Goosebumps broke out on his arms, and the hair on the back of his neck prickled. He hated it up here. Light winked at him from the bottom of the stairway, and Tell picked up his speed, ready to leave the gloom behind him. He stepped into the bright hallway, glad to have left behind the dreary turrets. How could his father stand it? He resided in the darkest, ugliest part of the castle, and Tell couldn't see why. Tell loved their castle. It was a true feat of architecture, having been built from the stone bluff on which it rested. White marble columns stretched toward the high arched ceiling where shimmering gold stars twinkled in the sunlight as it streamed through the windows. It danced over the stained glass, casting murals of colored images onto the smooth white walls. The kaleidoscope of colors helped to soothe his frayed nerves after the depressing conversation he'd had with his father. He reluctantly turned from the peaceful scenes as he caught sight of a familiar head of curly, golden hair.
"Samuel," Tell shouted. "Are the elite ready for our stroll through the Sinai?"
Sam glanced over his shoulder with an innocent smile that made Tell pause. There was nothing innocent about Sam. That look boded mischief. He eyed his brother, wondering what he was up to. His brother turned with militant perfection and executed a courtly bow.
"Why, yes, my lord. Everything is almost in place, my worshipfulness."
A deep sigh slipped out of him.
"Dear God, Sam, cut it out. I can't take any of your teasing this early in the morning."
He needed a drink of something strong to cope with Sam at the moment. His brother's face morphed into a blinding smile of white teeth, which only irritated him further. It was too early to have that much energy.
"Well, I knew you were off tracking down Father Dearest earlier, so I figured you would need something to brighten your day. It seems I was not far off. I'm sure I saw a dark cloud hovering over you as you approached. Quit being so serious and angry. We have to be on our best behavior enough as it is. Smile. Live a little."
Tell frowned.
"I smile," he argued.
Perhaps not as often as Sam, but he wasn't droll all the time. It wasn't in his nature to be as carefree as Sam.
"Or rather," he mused, "as carefree as Sam pretends to be." "You do enough of that for the both of us," Tell retorted. "Do you ever take anything seriously?" "Not if I don't have to. That's something you do for the both of us, brother,"
Sam joked, slapping him on the back. In spite of himself, one side of Tell's mouth tipped up. As the second son, his brother had always been granted so much more freedom. While Sam ran through the palace, wailing like a banshee, playing pirates or dragons, Tell had to sit quietly, listening to his father and his advisors. After a time, though, Sam ended up sneaking in, choosing to sit with him through all the long, boring talks. It bonded them. Samuel didn't need to sit there, and yet he did, so Tell wouldn't be miserable. Tell couldn't even imagine not having his brother around. Besides their behavioral differences, they were also like the sun and the moon in appearance. Their only shared feature was their eyes. They had the same deep sapphire eyes, so dark they made the midnight sky green with envy. The striking eyes were framed with such thick, dark lashes that his mum had always been envious. But that was where their similarities ended, for Sam was light to his dark. Sam's curly blonde hair, sunny disposition, and boyish smile had an endless stream of women falling at his feet throughout the years, while he'd had a much harder time of it, even with his exotic looks. Despite what some people said, it seemed personality made quite the difference. Tell flicked his eyes upward to his own unruly black waves. He had his mum's hair, so dark it almost seemed highlighted with blue. His strong jawline, high cheekbones, and dimples all came from his father, though. Tell smiled as he remembered his mother telling him they were his father's secret weapon. Dimples. Who would have thought women loved them so much? A secret weapon, yes, but one would have to smile for you to see them. His smile dimmed. After conversing with him, women would run for the hills. So he chose not to say anything. You can't embarrass yourself if you don't speak. He didn't feel comfortable talking to strangers anyway. Tell was the serious one to Sam's fun-loving personality. He didn't have time to chase women. His duty demanded too much attention. Tell eyed his brother, contemplating the difference between the man he knew Sam to be and the persona he encouraged. While Sam held the title of elite commander, it was Gavriel, their cousin, who fulfilled the duties, although this was not due to any negligence on Sam's part. Rather, it served a purpose for his brother's true talents, information acquisition and manipulation. A more befitting title might have been spymaster. He was possibly the most qualified man to have ever played that role. He had a million different faces for the myriads of circumstances in which he found himself. He was a master of disguise.
However, Tell thought, Sam doesn't have the weight of starving, angry people on his shoulders, nor the threat of revolt, war, and invasion looming over him.
Just contemplating it was enough to give him a throbbing headache and send his heart pounding. Because his people were unaware of the true extent of his father's deterioration, it was impossible for them to understand how Tell was floundering in a vain attempt to remedy everything unaided. The sound of Sam's voice penetrated his reverie.
Sorry,
he said, blinking to clear his thoughts.
You still in there?
Sam teased, knocking the side of Tell's head.
You didn't hear a word I said, did you? Perhaps you were dreaming of that sweet little thing vying for your attention last night. She was gorgeous and curvy in all the right places.
Sam waved his hands in the shape of an hourglass and waggled his eyebrows. Tell cringed at the memory. The harpy had thrown herself at him, despite his obvious lack of interest, finding a miraculous number of opportunities to do so again and again throughout the evening. Vain was an understatement.
For hell's sake, Sam, get your mind out of the gutter. She was pretty until she opened her mouth.
Tell shuddered.
When she smiled at me, it was like looking at a leviathan. She seems needy and manipulative, and I have no desire for her to sink her claws into me. Also,
he continued, wrinkling his nose,
she had so much rose oil on her I could barely breathe. I haven't survived elite training, battles, and assassination attempts only to die by stupid rose perfume. I don't care if she is Jaren's daughter. I won't spend another evening with her.
Sam tilted his head, thinking.
It would be rather poetic, wouldn't it? To die by a rose? Just imagine the tragic retelling. Oh, poor Crown Prince Tell Ramses perished, not by the sword, but because he suffocated by a set of rose oil-saturated breasts.
Unable to keep a straight face, Sam let out a snigger.
Not on your life,
he muttered darkly.
I'm grabbing my cloak, and then I will meet you on the city streets.
Sam's face sobered for a moment.
Be careful. I still don't know what it is we're dealing with. I know it is to be an exchange, but I'm unsure how many parties will be involved. Keep your eyes and ears open, though I will stay near you most of the time.
His brother paused, his eyes glittering in challenge.
Let's see if you can locate me among the crowd this time.
Sam then swaggered off toward the armory. Tell once again continued down the corridors of the castle, noting again how much things had changed since his mother died. It seemed all the vibrancy and warmth left with her, and now, despite the impressive architecture, the place felt empty and hollow. The flowers had all but disappeared, and the cheerful tapestries replaced with dull, muted ones. He planned to change that, though. And it wasn't the castle alone which required restoration. The kingdom did as well. It had been 3 years since the last festival. This year would be different. Heir Maia needed something to look forward to, and he would give it to them. As he pondered these hopeful changes, he couldn't help the frustration which also came. Whenever he thought of the changes his mum's death had wrought, Anger seemed to bubble up at the injustice of what he had been dealt.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?